Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. This is Bishop Horace C. Michael, pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church, and it is my great privilege and pleasure to be with you on this night, Tuesday, September 28th, in the year 2021, as we go forth with our weekly pastoral Bible study and prayer service. We bless the Lord and we thank him for his goodness and mercy toward us. And we've got so much to unpack with you tonight. We're going to jump right on in and get started. I just want to share with everyone that's on the line listening to us, actively listening right now, participating in the call, those listening to the recording, but those that are here with us, that for you to please make sure that when you use the chat in Zoom to indicate the verse that you'd like to read, that you make sure that the message goes out to everyone so that the entire Zoom audience will know what verses have been selected and then which ones aren't yet available. So I'm going to ask you to get your Bibles out, get your notebook, get your paper and pen, whatever you use to record notes, because we're going to be digging in tonight, and I want you to have more than a moment. I want you to have something that's going to last a lifetime. So make sure you get your notebook out, get your pen, whatever you need again to do or to record and make notes from the lesson, because this is something that's going to last you more than this moment. I want you to enjoy this moment, but I want you to have more than a moment. Is that all right? Bless the name of God. I want you to have more than a moment in Jesus' name. Bless your hearts. In all of our ways, we are instructed to acknowledge the Lord, and he will direct our path. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer before we begin the lesson. Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come before your presence with joy and gladness, with a spirit of appreciation, with a heart filled with thanksgiving, a mouth filled with praise, and we declare, yes, we will bless you, O Lord. I thank you for this day, for having taken us through it, brought us to this other end of it. And even now, Lord God, we thank you for even the turning down of our plate on this day, the day of fasting and prayer. We praise you, Lord, that even as we come with an open heart, we ask, Lord God, that you would speak to us, speak to the very core of our being. Allow your word to resonate deeply within us and strengthen us in our faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so because we know that how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without the preacher? Lord, I know that tonight is teaching, but I just feel something coming on me even now, the anointing that makes preaching or even teaching powerful. So, Lord, we submit ourselves to you, ask that you would be glorified, that our words would bless these precious listeners, and that even if there's somebody on the line with us today that needs salvation, that through the word being taught, their faith would even be increased to bring them to the place of asking, what must I do to be saved? We bless your name. We thank you. We love you. And we give ourselves over to you. Be thou glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. All right. God bless you. We're going to get right into it. Let me get my screen share up. And I just need you all to let me know. Okay. All right. Let me know if you all are able to see the screen. Let me know if you're able to see the screen. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I'm getting some responses now. Okay. Very good. Let's jump right in. And so this is all about Jesus. Let's be clear. Everything that we share, everything that we do, the lives that we live, it's really all about him. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Good Shepherd. He's the Bread of Life. He's our Emmanuel, God with us. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He is our peace. He's a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. He's the Son given as well as the everlasting Father. Oh, bless the name of God. And so just let's make sure that there's no question about this, that we are here and it's all about Jesus. We're going to jump right in and a little bit of a recap for those that may not have been with us on last week. We talked about seven areas of spiritual attack, and we went through each one of them. The first one being your thoughts, the second one being your emotions, the third one being your speech, the fourth one being habits, the fifth one being sexuality, the sixth one being body, the seventh one being lifestyle. And we took the time to go through these because as we are teaching, as we were teaching about the renewed mind, it's important for you to understand how the enemy will try to fight. Clearly, without any question, this is a spiritual battle. And God has impressed upon me the need to teach you how to fight it. And so this is not about games. This is not about fairy tales. This is not about phantoms. This is not about anything that is pointing to us or people, and not even anything that would exalt the devil. I don't want you to be afraid of the attack from the enemy. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but this is what he's given us, the spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. And so strap on your gloves. It's time to fight. And God has given us everything we need to be effective in this fight, because when dealing with the seven areas of spiritual attack, always remember, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. I want you to make a note of that. I want you to underscore that. You got to know, you've got to remember that the greater one is inside of you. When dealing with the seven areas of spiritual attack, always remember, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. I wish I can get somebody to say amen. You don't have to unmute, but you need to say amen. None of the things that the devil will do has the ability to overcome you because of the power of God that operates in you. And it is his power. It is not our power. God has spoken once, and twice have I heard it. Power belongs to God. Make a note of it. I know that the devil has power, but he sure don't have power over God. The devil was created. God was is the creator. And so the creature is never superior to the creator. Make a note of that. Satan, Lucifer, he was created. He was created by God, and he is not superior to the creator. He tried to put himself up as being bigger and better and stronger, but he was living a fairy tale. He had been the victim of his own self-deception. And so tonight, we want to continue to arm you in this spiritual battle. And I'm excited to dig in with you tonight, because tonight we're going to deal with living the character of Christ. The devil doesn't mind if you do your thing. And sometimes this is the problem with a lot of people. They do their thing. I'm going to do me. The devil is a liar. When you get the Holy Ghost, when you receive the Holy Spirit and you become a born again believer, you spirit filled Christian, you have to understand that the devil ain't afraid of you. The devil was never afraid of you. The devil had you, as a matter of fact, but it was Christ that set you free. And Paul, the apostle, writes to the saints of God and says to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and don't go back to bondage. Somebody put it in your notes. I won't go back. Glory to God. I said, I feel the Holy Spirit on this line tonight. And so tonight, September 28th, the year 2021, our lesson is living the character of Christ, coming out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. And some of you Bible scholars on the line know where we're going with that. But I'm going to ask you to be patient tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. And so understanding the character of Christ, it is the cry of the heart of the believer to be more like Jesus. And more being more like Jesus is less drama, less selfishness, less complaining, less bitterness, less gossip, less pride, less anger, and less me. At the top of this It's more Jesus. And I don't know if I've got anybody on the line, but if you want more Jesus, you need to put that in your notes. I want to be more like Jesus. And so let's understand, Jesus was submissive. He was wise. He was humble. He was obedient. He was self-controlled. He had a servant's heart. He lived pure. He was impartial. He was trustworthy. And if I would bring my Boy Scout motto, my Boy Scout motto, a part of my Boy Scout heritage into this, as a Boy Scout, one of the things that we would say is that a Boy Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. And I would say Jesus was the ideal Boy Scout, if you will. He was unselfish, he was holy, he was tender, he was patient, he was good, he was honest, and he loved without measure. He loved so much that he gave himself. And despite the fact that it was a hard choice, he made the choice for you. You were worth it. My God, put that in a note. I was worth it. I was worth it. God giving Christ is the expression of my worth to God. God giving Christ. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. God giving Christ is the highest expression of the value that God has for me. Can't beat that. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's dig in. As a spirit-filled believer, you have the part. You don't have to beg for forgiveness. You don't have to beg for favor. You don't have to beg for God's love. You don't have to perform for it. You know, sometimes people fast and they think that if I fast, God will see my fasting and then God will honor my requests and my prayers. That's not what fasting is for. Fasting is not to impress God. Fasting is to put a hold and a pause on you. It's to put yourself in line with his word. It's for you to be still and to hear the voice of God. God doesn't get the benefit of you fasting. The fasting benefit is yours. You, the one that get the benefit from fasting. And so this is why Jesus said, you know, people that they go through the motions, they look all super deep and all that kind of stuff. They go around with an ashy face. They don't put on, you know, no lotion or nothing like that. They don't put on, you know, their cologne. Listen, when you fast, you better put on your cologne. You better put on your perfume. Isaiah 58 tells you that if you're going to fast the way God wants you to fast and going to get God results, you don't go around looking like you dragging yourself around and you're sitting in sackcloth and ashes and you want somebody to say, oh, wow, you must be so spiritual. Look at you. Look at her. Look at him. Isaiah 58 is the fasting chapter of the Bible. And so when we talk about putting on the dress, we're not putting on like a part. We're not trying to impress nobody. As a matter of fact, when we put on what God tells us to put on, it's not about impressing God. It's about letting the devil know whose we are. And so you've got the part. When you repent of your sins, you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, aligning yourself up with him and taking on the name of Christ, going on to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My God, that seals the deal. Now, Paul says that the Holy Spirit is the earnest. It's the down payment. And by the Holy Spirit, we are sealed until the day of redemption. Somebody need to put that in your notes. When I got the Holy Ghost, that sealed the deal. Praise the name of God. When I got the Holy Ghost, that sealed the deal. Praise the Lord. And so the encouraging word to the believer is you need to stay sealed. Praise the name of God. So you've got the part. Now let's dress the part. There are things as a believer you must put off, things you've got to put off and things that you must put on. And I want you to understand that this is what God expects you to do. He's not going to expect you to do anything that is incapable, that you're not capable of doing. The Holy Spirit empowers the believer to live the life God wants us to live. It's not by our strength. It's not by our power. It is by the Holy Spirit. And so every admonition that we'll share with you tonight, the given in that is that it's the power of the Holy Spirit operating in cooperation with your will. You're not going to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh if you want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You've got to want the Lord to have his way and yield to him. Now, I know that he will deal with people's hearts when they fall into sin. He'll deal with people's hearts when they turn their backs on him. He did it with Israel. And so although they were his children, they turned their back on him. And God had to deal with their hearts because at one point they didn't want God. Can you imagine that? They didn't want God. They chose the things of the world. And that's what brought them into incredible trauma and problems. And so let's dig in. You've got to address the part. So let's see what the word of God has to say. For those that are listening and not able to see, Romans chapter 13, verse 12. And again, I'm going to ask you, our volunteers that are on the line with us, to put in the text, put in the chat, the verse that you like to read. I need volunteers to be snappy. So we're going to be reading Romans chapter 13, verse 12, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 through 27, and Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. That's for now. Romans chapter 13, okay, Sister Charisse, Galatians chapter 3, Sister Lynette, Ephesians chapter 4, that will be Sister Selena, and Ephesians chapter 6, that'll be Sandra. Okay, Sandra Michael. All right, let's go, readers. Romans chapter 13, verse 12.
The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light.
Amen. We got to put off the works of darkness. And notice that it's capital. I'm sorry, that it's plural. It's works. When we deal with the fruit of the Spirit, we'll get there in a minute. Paul enumerates before he talks about the fruit. He talks about the fruit of the flesh before he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. To be sure, the flesh produces fruit. It's not wholesome fruit. It's deadly fruit. The Spirit produces living fruit. And you can put that in your notes. The flesh produces poison fruit. The Spirit produces life-giving fruit, living fruit. And so as a believer, you need to understand what time it is. You don't have time to be playing no games. The night is far spent. In other words, it's getting late in the night. The sun is going down. Late in the evening, the sun is going down. And the day is at hand. What day is that? The day of the Lord's return. It's imminent. In other words, it can happen anytime. Consequently, we got to cast off. Look at what Paul said. He says, cast it off. Don't play with it. Don't peel it off. Don't take it off gently. Cast it off. Cast off the works of darkness. Whatever is going on in your life that you have allowed to come in, if it's the works of darkness, it's time for it to go. It's got to go. Put it in your note. It's got to go. It's got to go. And let us put on the armor of light. We have to put on the armor of light. And it's interesting that these directives are toward us, instructions for us. And so receive these words tonight as admonitions and instructions for us. Put on the armor of light. That's Jesus. That's the word. That's the lifestyle that shines. The Bible, Jesus said in the Gospels, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And so let's understand something. Jesus saying that in the Gospels is pointing the world to follow after God, pointing the world to be obedient to whatever God's call is, whatever God's word says. And Jesus is the manifestation. He's the physical representation of God. The Gospel of John opens up, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that is made. In him is life, and the life is the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot put it out. The armor of God is the brilliant light of his holiness, and nothing the devil can do can extinguish the light of God in you. Put that down in your notes. Nothing the devil can do can extinguish the light of God in you. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Sister Lynette, please read.
Yes, sir. Good evening, everybody. Okay, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, and the King James Version. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Amen.
Amen. So those that have come and followed in obedience to the word to be baptized into Christ, Paul is saying you have put on Christ. Now, to be baptized into Christ is to take on his name, and you also need the nature of the Holy Spirit. Water baptism is not enough. Jesus said you must be born again, born of the water and of the Spirit. So let's not make a mistake in reading this verse. It's not just talking about the water baptism. It's talking about the full baptism, baptism of water and baptism of the Spirit, which Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. The very same text where it says God so loved the world is the very same text where it talks about the necessity of being born again. And so Paul is saying those that have been born again have put on Christ. Ah, God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 through 27. Dr. Marbury, please.
But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. But ye anger, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil.
Amen. God bless you. A lot here, a mouthful. Underscoring what being the theme of this particular slide, putting off the former conversation of the old man, where Paul talks about being, having the understanding darkened, walking as Gentiles in the vanity of our minds, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that rejects Christ. Anything that rejects Christ is alienated from the life of God, because Christ in you is the life of God. It is the hope of glory. Christ is our life. And if you reject anyone rejecting Christ, rejects life. You cannot live without Jesus. And Paul says, you have not learned Christ that way, where you walk in your own way. You've learned about Christ and have been taught about Christ. And it's important that you understand the imperative as a student to sit, to be taught. A lot of people want to talk about the scriptures and essentially share scripture, want to give revelation about scripture, but they don't see them in no Bible study. They're not in no Bible class, and they want to have a deep revelation, but they don't even know how to commit themselves to Bible study. Be careful of that spirit, an unteachable spirit. Be very careful. A lot of young Christians fall into that trap, and some even seasoned ones that feel that their tenure is indicative of their depth. Lord have mercy. I just got to pause there 1 second. Because tenure does not equate to depth. Now, it should mean that as you have walked with the Lord, because Jesus was concerned. The disciples were with him. And he says, you know, he said to them when they were struggling with issues of faith, how long will I be with you? How long will I have to deal with this? I mean, it was crazy because Jesus was getting frustrated with his disciples. He said, you guys are walking with me. You guys are living with me. You know, y'all are sitting down and eating with me and you're not getting it. And in his flesh, he was frustrated. The Apostle Paul, I believe it might have been the Corinthians or the Galatians, where he wrote to a church and expressed to them that they could not, I think it was Corinthians, that they could not handle the deeper things of God. They were still dealing with milk, the milk of the word. Now, Peter tells the believer, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But there's got to come a time when you move off the milk to something of more substance. And the Apostle Paul was concerned that some of the saints were still drinking milk and they couldn't handle the hard sayings of Christ, the hard things that desire that required discernment and not carnal mindedness. Because as you mature in the Holy Spirit, you have to understand you've got to put away your thoughts and your thinking, put off the former conversation. And conversation means lifestyle. So you got to put away the way you used to live. The Holy Spirit will give you the power, but you got to lay it down. Oh, Kayarabo Shanda. Woo! You got to lay it down. You got to put it off. Put away lying. Put on the new man. Put away lying. Speak the truth. Understand that we are inextricably tied together in the body of Christ. We need each other. We're a part of each other. I can't hate you and then talk about I love God. I can't not like you and talk about loving God. James said that's inconsistent. That's inconceivable. That's not even the Holy Spirit. How can you say you love God who you don't see and don't even get along with your brother and sister that you see on a daily basis? Whether, I mean, you know, today is a little different because we don't see each other too much, but you get the point. How can you say you love an invisible God if you don't get along with the person you can have visible contact, physical contact with? It's not the Holy Spirit. It may be your spirit. It may be the spirit of the devil, but it sure ain't the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit of God is the spirit of reconciliation. It brings together, even for the sinner and even for the backslider. Come, let us reason together. Ooh, God have mercy. I feel something on this line. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Got a lot to share with you tonight. Let's dig in. Ephesians chapter 6. I think that's Sandra.
Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Thank you, daughter. You've got to dress for this. When you go to a wedding, there's a certain dress code. When you go to a sporting event, if you're an athlete and you're playing the sport, there's a certain dress code. When you go to fight a battle, you're in the armed services, in the military, there's a dress code. If you are a worker in a doctor or nurse or a surgeon, when you walk around the hospital, it's easy to see who you are and know who you are, at least the fact that you are a member of the staff because of your dress code. When you walk around as a spiritual believer, you need to make sure the devil knows who you are. You need to dress like, hey, Tayyadaba, dress like you are part of the army. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. The wiles means the strategies of the devil, the things the devil uses to try to pull you down. You've got to have this armor on because the armor, the devil respects the armor. Lord have mercy. Your helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the belt of truth, you know, gird about your loins with truth, sword of the spirit, shield of faith. Yeah, the devil respects the armor. Make no mistake about it. And you can put that in your notes. The devil respects the armor. It's the armor of God. Let's go on. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 16. This is a big bite. It's a big chunk here. But I want you to understand, when we talk about the characteristics of Christ, when we talk about being more like Jesus, when we talk about this transformation This is powerful stuff, and I want you to understand it. I want you to get it. And Sister Tinley was quick to the draw. Praise the Lord. And so put on the, I'm going to ask her to share it since Junior Deacon Austin wants to read as well. So I'm going to ask her to read the first 8 verses, and then I'm going to ask Junior Deacon Austin to read the second half. So she'll read, Sister Tinley, if you would, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, and then Junior Deacon Austin will pick up verses 9 through 16. Sister Tinley, would you please begin?
Amen. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I read it twice. I'm sorry. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth.
I know. My God, my God. Hold on 1 second, Brother Judy Dawson. There's a lot here to unpack. And what's so powerful here is that the Apostle Paul puts it in the context of the believer. He said, if you're risen with Christ, and of course that speaks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead that dwells in the believer. And so Paul is saying to the body of Christ, since you are risen, he's not saying if, as if to suggest there's a possibility that you're not. So he's not saying either if you are or if you're not. That word if is indicative of, or it's more accurately translated, since. So since you have been risen with Christ, seek these things which are above. As a result of being risen, you've got to change your focus. You've got to shift your attention and understand that where your heart is where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. Wherever your heart is, that's going to be where your focus is going to be. And so he says, set your affection, put your heart on things above. Put your heart, you got to give it your all. You're not going to win this by going halfway. I love to look at the Rocky movies, the whole series. I love the Rocky series. And the thing about it that's just so powerful is that it demonstrates the courage of a person who was, for all intents and purposes, a nobody, who rose to an incredible position of stardom, but not because he was anxious for stardom. He was just a man with a heart of gold. He just had an indefatigable spirit. He would not give up. He would not give up. He would train. He would work out. He gave it his all. And when I see the image of this character, Rocky Balboa, although fictional, it's important to understand that as a believer, Paul talks about it. He says, I don't fight against the shadows. I'm not swinging in the air. I'm battling here. I'm wrestling here. And I bring my body under subjection. I know that I'm dealing with a challenge. I know that I'm dealing with something that's got power, but I'm not giving up the fight. I bring my body under subjection, lest by any means that after I have shared the life-changing word with others, I would be disqualified myself. I'm not taking shortcuts. I'm not looking for the easy way out. I've got to deal with this thing. And Paul is saying to us, deal with it. Hayana Moshanda. Ooh, not uncaring, not insensitive, not making light of the challenges that the body of Christ faces, but he's saying, deal with it by the power of God. Put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Don't lie. I mean, if I can read it the way it should be read, it's really stop lying. Stop lying. Put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, after the image of God, after the image of Christ. St. John chapter 1 tells us that, you know, even Christ made all things. Everything that was made by him. He is the everlasting Father. He is the creator of all things. And so let's jump in. Brother Paul, Trinity Deacon Austin, I started sharing some of your part. Verse 9, please.
Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with the grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Thank you so much. I know that I want to take a step back just a sec, because there were some words that were read that may not be familiar words. So in verse number 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And so that's a mouthful there. So Paul is talking about anything that's connected with the ways of death, sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like it, you know, doing whatever you feel like and doing it whenever you feel like it. Going after whatever tickles your fancy. You know, that's a life that's shaped by the way you feel, and by it's not shaped by faith, it's shaped by feeling. And so verse 5, in that one verse, it talks about not living a life based on feelings, but living a life based on faith in God. And so Paul tells us to, you know, stop that lying. Put that lying away. Get rid of that bad temper, that irritability, that meanness, dirty talk, profanity. You know, saints don't curse. You gotta put a guard on your mouth, because we learn a new language. Profanity is the language of anger and rage and the flesh. And we have put on Christ so that we don't live in anger, we don't live in rage, and we don't walk by the flesh. The Holy Spirit, in receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for all intents and purposes, the Lord has stripped us off of these things by the power of the Holy Ghost. And you've got to understand that you got to, you know, the nature of the Holy Spirit. You've got the nature of God, but there's still your nature there. And you've got to deal with your nature. So anything that interferes with your relationship with God, anything that will put you back in a life based on flesh and feelings, you've got to strip that off. You got to keep it off. You got to keep it off. Put on the new man. And it's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's not about customs. It's not about laws and regulations. And what you have to understand is that living saved is about love. We were saved by grace through faith. But what brought it to us was the love of God. God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. The Holy Ghost is poured out upon us by love. Jesus was given on the cross by love. Holy Ghost was poured out because God loved us. He wanted to redeem us back to himself. And so we don't live a life that's based on regulations. It's not about being a Jew, being a Greek. It's not about being circumcised or uncircumcised. It's not about any kind of racial class or distinction that man would promote or use to say this one is better than the other. Not about being civilized or being uncouth. Not about being an insider or an outsider. Not even about being a man or a woman. It's none of those things. None of those distinctions matter as it relates to my relationship and walk with God. I love him. I don't love him better because I'm a man versus a woman. I don't love him better because I went to college and some others did not. That's ridiculous. My love for him is based upon the forgiveness of my sins, not a college degree or a gender identity. The devil is a liar. And so let us understand when it talks about, neither male nor female, that's not talking about positions in the ministry and positions in the body of Christ. That's not talking about those distinctions and those callings and those appointments that come by the Holy Spirit. This is talking about the aspect of our walks with God. Women are not better at this with God. Because they may have certain characteristics that distinguish them from a man, and men are not better than women because of the characteristics that distinguish them from a woman. What makes us better is the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, help me tonight. Y'all don't know. The Lord gave me a lot for y'all. Above all these, put on charity. It is the bond of perfection. It is what seals us. Love. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Okay? Be thankful. Love each other. And let the word dwell in your spirit. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. That's why teaching is so important. You need the word. You need the word preached and you need the word taught. You need the preacher and the teacher. And let's go on in Jesus' name. I want you to get this tonight. We're not going to get through all of this at all. I've got so much to share with you. But I have to lay the foundation because I want you to build strong. Somebody put it in your note. Build strong. Build strong. Build strong. You don't want to build weak. You don't want to build shabby. You don't want to build cheap. Anytime you're dealing with a construction project or a remodeling project, renovation project, you're dealing with time. You're dealing with money and dealing with quality. I mean, speed. Well, time is the speed, quality, and you're dealing with money. If you put little money in, that's going to affect the quality. It may get done fast, but it won't be quality. If you want to have quality, it may take longer time, and it's going to cost you more money. Those are the three areas, the three aspects, the three points of the renovation or the construction pyramid that are used. If you want to have better quality, it's going to take more time. It's going to take more money. If you don't care about the quality, it can get done quick and it can cost you less. Praise the name of God. So I want you to understand that triad even as it relates to you building your life in God. You don't want to build a life that's fast and cheap. You want to build your life that's strong and got quality, and that takes time. It takes an investment. Invest in your growth. Character matters. Christian character matters. I've got three translations in front of us. I need three readers. Sister Lynette's got the King James. Sister Sandra Michael's got the Living. I need somebody for the Amplified. Dale's got the Amplified. Okay, Sister Lynette's got the King James. Sister Sandra Michael's got the Living Version. And our son Dale Daniel's got the Amplified. Let's hit it. King James, then the Living, then the Amplified. Let's go.
Yes, sir. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The King James Version. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
Amen. That's Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23 in the King James Version, tried and true. Let's go to the Living Bible translation.
Read the scripture. Galatians 5, 22 says, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And here, there is no conflict with Jewish law.
Thank you, Sandra. Let's go to the Amplified.
But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us, is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law.
Amen. Two verses, but when I tell you there's a lot here to unpack, my God. I wanted you to see this in these various translations because I do believe that a holistic study of scripture would include reading it in different translations. Of course, you need to be careful because when you read some of these translations, they change the meaning of the King James text. And so you need to read carefully to make sure that it's not changing the meaning. One example is the Gospel of John, chapter 1, which talks about, and the Word was God. In some cases, it'll say the Word was a God. And so you just need to be careful as you read, and having what's called a parallel Bible is good because a parallel Bible will basically have the verses similarly laid out to the way we have it here on the screen. One column is the King James, another column is another translation, and maybe a third column is yet another translation. So be careful. When we talk about Christian character, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1 says that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 says a good name is better than precious ointment. The idea that precious ointment is reflective of the ointment in the alabaster box, of a costly ointment. And so the preacher in Ecclesiastes is saying a good name is better to have than expensive ointment. Some of you may be familiar more commonly with expensive colognes and perfumes, and you know, a small bottle that might almost look like a sample bottle can cost so much money. And then, you know, if you get a 5 ounce or a 10 ounce bottle, my God, you know, it's just almost ridiculous. To get. And so, but the idea is that this ointment or this cologne that's so priceless, so costly, that a good name is better than that. The truth of the matter is that the ointment, the value of the ointment in its precious odor will fade away, but a good name won't fade away. Come on, somebody. Time can fade away the odoriferousness of the perfume. It won't linger. You know, some colognes and perfumes, it will linger for a while, but it won't linger forever. After a while, it will dissipate. After a while, it will go away. But a good name will not. It will not go away. Even after a person dies, if they have a good name, that name will live beyond them. And so character matters. Character matters. In chapter 5 of Galatians, the apostle comes to exhort the saints about the serious practice of godliness, the serious practice of godliness. And this practice is positioned as the antidote against the snares of false teachers. For those of you that are students of the word, you'll know that the Galatians were dealing with a challenge in faith. They were dealing with Galatianism. Galatianism is one of the three errors touching the right relationship between law and grace, to understand law and grace. You got Galatianism, you got antinomianism, and you've got ceremonialism. And so Galatianism was the mingling of law and grace. It taught that grace was given to help the helpless sinner keep the law. And that's ludicrous. And so Paul was writing to the Galatians to not only strengthen them in the areas of practical godliness, but also to use this outline as an antidote against the false teaching that was being spread amongst them. Two things he impresses upon them: that they should not strive with one another, but love one another. And then the other is that they should strive against sin. Sin is the issue. Sin is the challenge. And you need to understand that the struggle between the flesh and the spirit is real. The flesh deals with the corrupt nature, lust, and the flesh will always strive against the spirit. It always struggles with the spirit. It is that aspect that struggles with scripture and teaching that talks about holiness and always seeks to make an excuse for their condition and situation, as if theirs is the exception to the rule. The spirit deals with the renewed part of us, and the spirit strives against the flesh and opposes the flesh. It opposes the desires of the flesh. And so this struggle ensues. And so before you get to verse 22, Paul talks about the nature of the flesh and how he identifies it is important. And then he tells us that we need to walk in the spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so here you see the model of the characteristics of Christ. This is our model to emulate, the fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruits as in multiple. Very interesting distinction here. It is what the Spirit produces. It produces this. And oftentimes we look at this as segments, but you can look at it that way. But what I want you to understand is that the Spirit is not divided. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit encapsulating all of this. And this is our calling. This is what we've been called to. And Paul says, if you live like this, this does not contradict the laws of the Jews. Now, of course, he was dealing with Jews as well. Primarily, it was Gentiles with the Galatians. But what was important is that these Jews were coming in, and they were the ones that were emphasizing the law. And so Paul, with this presenting this model, is saying they can say all they want to. Those Jewish false teachers can say everything that they want to, but this model emulating Christ does not go against the Jewish laws. There's no conflict here. There's no conflict here. This is the fulfillment of what Christ wants us to be. Lord have mercy. This is I don't know how y'all are seeing it, but there's a lot here in this chart concerning the fruit of the Spirit. And I wanted to share this with you. And I may have to end right here because it's 8 o'clock and I can't keep y'all all night. But I want you to take a look at this image and soak it in. Soak it in. Paul is talking about love, benevolence, goodwill, esteem. Love is patient and kind. That's coming right out of 1 Corinthians 13. Joy, you know, talking about gladness and even a source of joy. Though you do not see him, you believe in him. This is talking about the Lord. This is talking about God. You don't see God, but you believe in him. And even now you yet don't see him, but yet you believe and you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so Paul is saying here that there's a joy that the believer has that is so undefinable that it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And this joy, come on, somebody, I feel it now. This joy that we have, the world didn't give it and the world cannot take it away because this is a joy that we have in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. Patience, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The point about patience that Dale read out of the, I believe it was the Amplified translation, was not the ability to wait. Not about the ability to wait, but the attitude you have while you're waiting. So it's not about ability. It's about attitude. Make a note of that. Patience. It's about the attitude, not the ability. Not the ability to wait, but the attitude you have while waiting. God help us tonight. I got to end right here in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm loving this and I'm praying that you all are getting something out of it, but I want you to understand that when we talk about the characteristics of Christ, this is what God wants for us. This is what God has for us. This is what you can do. I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. If the Lord said to be light, you can be light. If the Lord said be salt, you can be salt. If the Lord said be holy, you can be holy. If the Lord says forgive, you can forgive in the name of Jesus. You've got to speak what God says. You've got to agree with God's word. You can't let your flesh dictate your life because to live in the flesh, the carnal mind is enmity with God, and they that live after the flesh will die. It will lead to death. And I want you to be ready for the rapture. I love you so much that I want to give you the truth. I'm not depending on anybody else to do it for you as your pastor. For quite a bit of you on the line and for those that are not, I could be your Tuesday pastor. I could be your Tuesday pastor if you let me. But even with that, I'm sharing with you from the heart of a shepherd. You need to build yourself up on the word of God. And this word will help you. God's word will strengthen you. It will establish you. And after, sometimes you got to suffer. Sometimes we got to go through. But after we have suffered a while, oh God, after we've suffered a while, the Lord is doing something in you right now. He's making you. He's strengthening you. He's preparing you. There's somebody that he's preparing. Somebody he's preparing. And the devil doesn't want you to see this as preparation. He just wants you to see the pain. But the Holy Ghost is telling me to tell you it's preparation. It's preparation. It's preparation. It's preparation. It's preparation. This is about to. The Lord is establishing you. He's strengthening you. And please, for God's sakes, watch your attitude. Some people have a bad attitude, and they act like they're doing people God a favor. They act like they're doing somebody a favor. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. He's going to put grace on you. God is going to pour grace on you. But don't act like you'd rather be somewhere else when you're doing the service of the Lord, because all you're doing is deceiving yourself. That doesn't count. That doesn't count. You've got to go through something. And the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. You've got to go through something. Those that live godly in Christ Jesus, amen. You have to suffer tribulation. We got to go through it. We won't go through the tribulation, period. But we will go through, we will be tested. We will be tested. We will go through, we will suffer. The Bible says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to bring this point to a close. I'm going to defer to our intercessor for the men, for the women, for the youth. At this time, let them come. Take us to the throne of grace with a powerful, anointed intercessory prayer. Our prayer leaders will come, praying for our men, women, and our young people in Jesus' name.
Gracious and kind and loving Father, eternal God, we come to you grateful right now because we have an audience with the King. There are many who have tried to approach that have been struck down because they did not come correct. Even the priests that you set in place, Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, when they came incorrectly, they came and offered strange fire, and they were struck down because they lacked reverence. And so, Father, before we lift up any request, we ask, dear God, that you would cleanse us and that you would purify us, that you would forgive us of anything that would hinder our prayers. We ask, dear God, that you would forgive us of anything that would keep us out of your presence, because you instructed us to come boldly before your throne of grace. And so, dear Lord, right now we ask for that grace to help in this time of need. And as, Father, we have spoken of the fruit of the Spirit, I just ask, dear God, that you would help us to do as your word instructed us, as we heard today, and to put to death our mortal bodies and all of the fruit that are associated with them. I pray that especially for the men of Beulah Tabernacle, because where men go, dear Lord, as a general rule, the family ends up going. The city, the state, the country ends up going. In the places that are many members of the congregation come from, it may be the province ends up going where men go. It may be the kingdom ends up going wherever the men go. And so I pray, Father, that all of the works of the flesh and all of the fruit that comes from it would be put to death right now. I pray, dear God, that you would help us to lay those things in the grave with our old man, so that we might come alive to you. You told us point blank, Father. You were speaking of your death and resurrection, but you told us that except a grain of wheat dies, it remains alone. But if it die, it would bear much fruit. And so right now, dear God, instead of us working at producing what our hands are able to bring about, instead of us, dear God, aiming to see how well we can do on our own, instead of us, Father, living life according to our own feelings and according to our own reason and rationale, instead of us constantly throwing dead seed into the ground and wondering why nothing is coming about, I pray that you would help us to be that grain of wheat that falls into the ground, putting to death the old man and all of his works, so that we might come alive to you. So that in dying, we can come alive and bear much fruit. And help us to remember, dear Lord, that while our salvation may be something that happens at a point in time, our choice to follow you is a daily thing. When we were told to mortify, it didn't say that we should have already mortified. It told us to mortify, which means it is an ongoing practice. You don't plant grass in the ground and expect that once when you've already seeded the soil and you've pulled up weeds, that no more weeds will come. You tend your garden. And so, Father, even right now, just as after telling Adam to be fruitful and multiply, after blessing him, you told him to work the ground. Just as you told him, dear God, I pray that you would help us to bear that in mind. That you have placed your word before us so that the soil and the ground of our hearts could be prepared for the ongoing fruit that ought to be born. But even in preparing the ground of our hearts, dear Lord, we still need to make sure that we are coming to you, that we are staying in the vine, that we are staying attached to the vine, Father. Not trying to go off and produce fruit on our own, but making sure that we stay attached to you. Not allowing the old nature to creep up and to do even what Lucifer tried to do, where we think that we know better than you, and essentially we are trying to put ourselves above you. Help us to not do that in our prideful decisions, dear God. Help us to not be presumptuous in the way that we go about life. But help us to be like that Psalm 1 man, that Psalm 1 woman, who finds themselves planted by rivers of water, who finds themselves deeply rooted in you, and as long as we remain in you, dear God, your word tells us, someone tells us, that we will bring forth our fruit in our season. And I thank you, dear God, because just like grapes have one season, apples have another, peaches may have another, each one of us have a season that you intend for us to produce fruit in. And I honor you, dear God, because if we do what the scripture told us today and we wait patiently and actively, leaning on you and trusting in you, we will reap that fruit if we faint not. I thank you, Lord. Because all of these things that you have given to us, just like you mentioned while you were here walking among us, you said when you put a seed in the ground, you don't know how it grows, but it does what it's supposed to do. And so, Father, I pray that as we have planted seeds of faith today, that you would help us to continue to tend the garden by watering it with your word. And that you would help us, dear Lord, to believe in and trust on you, knowing that you will make sure that when that due season comes, fruit is born. Help us to not try to pluck up, to dig up the seed and see if it's growing, dear God, because when we get hasty and when we are too anxious, dear God, we end up killing the seeds and plucking up the fruit that's supposed to be born. Just because our hands are weary, just because we are weary. So help us not to be weary in well-doing, dear Lord, because in due season we will reap if we faint not. Continue to purify our hearts and our minds, dear God. Help us to come before you with reverence and honor, even as we come boldly before your throne of grace. We thank you, and we praise you even right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we come before you tonight, thanking you for your mercy, your grace, and your salvation, Father God. Thank you for the word in which we heard tonight, Father God. Help us to utilize it to the fullest. Help us to, as the pastor said, put on the full armor. Within these times in which we are living, we are being tested day by day, dear Lord. Help us to watch the words that come out of our mouths, dear Lord. Everything that we say and do, to be pleasing in your sight, Father God. Help us to live, as you said, live by the things above. Follow your commandments, Father God. Stay focused on you, dear Jesus, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to build on the foundation, which is Christ, the solid rock, in which we all need to stand firm and hold on to Jesus's hem of his garment so that we may be able to move forward and go through this journey which he's prepared for us to walk, dear Lord. We thank you for all of our blessings, your blessings tonight, Father God. We ask that you help us to remove all the negativity from within us, the anger, the heartaches, everything that we're holding, and help us to let go and let God take control of it and take control of us and our lives. Help us to walk righteously in your sight, Father God. Give us the wisdom, the knowledge, and understanding that we need as women, dear Lord. We are looked upon by our young and elder ones, strangers as well as family members. So we have to set an example so that they may have solid direction, solid guidance to follow through as they too walk their journeys, dear Lord. Help us to be obedient to your spirit, Father God. Help us to stand strong on your word and not and to live our lives in the love in which Christ came and showed us. He taught us how to live and love one another. Help us not to give up on that. Love conquers all things. Help us to believe in him and his word and the love of Christ Jesus. As our God gave his son because he loved us so. And gave us our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And for this, we should be humble. We should submit ourselves and our temples. And we should be careful of the things that we put in and the people that we surround ourselves with as women. It is not an easy path for us as females to walk. But by God's grace and his mercy, and us being there for one another, supporting one another, lifting one another up, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So as we said in the word, we have to build the foundation on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to live and to put in the quality time and measures that we need so that we can move forward. In Jesus' precious name, that's the prayer of my heart. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to, first of all, before I ask for anything, Lord, just to say thank you for all you've done, oh God. Thank you for each individual on this Zoom, oh Lord. Thank you for their lives. Thank you, oh God, for their commitment, oh Lord, to you and your word, oh Lord, to their individual families, oh God. Lord, I ask that you forgive me and each and every one of us on this Zoom, oh God, for our sins, anything we've done, Lord, that is opposite to what your word says on how we should treat ourselves, treat you and treat others, oh God. I ask that you forgive us, oh Lord. Forgive us for not always utilizing and properly using the fruits of the Spirit, oh God. Forgive us for not always treating each other with love and respect and kindness, oh God. Forgive us for not even being obedient to you and the things you've called and asked us to do and asked us to be, oh God. Young and old, oh God. Lord, I pray that you help us to do better, oh God. Help us to love each other better. Help us to be better to one another. Lord, help us to live in unity, oh God, in a time where there is so much division and so much separation, oh God. I pray that you would bring us together, oh God, not all this separation and denomination and I believe this and I believe that, oh God, but bring us together in unity under your name, oh Lord. And how you have instructed us to live among each other, oh God. Lord, I thank you for Bishop Michael, oh Lord, and his word that he gave on tonight, oh God. Lord, thank you for men of God who will still hold his sheep accountable, oh Lord, for what your word says about how we should be toward one another and what we should wear, oh God, as Christians, not physical clothing, oh God, but the armor that you provided us, oh God, in your word, the armor that you provided us, oh God, so that we can be ready when the devil and the enemy comes, oh God, with distractions and different things to get us off course, oh God. Lord, thank you for someone to teach us, oh God, about how to be and treat one another, oh God, knowing we won't get it right all the time, oh Lord. But give us the desire to love. Give us the desire to have more patience. Give us the desire to have more long-suffering. Give us the desire to be more charitable. Give us the desire to be all of those things, oh God, that you have called us to be, oh Lord. We bind any spirit of any of those opposite things, Lord. We bind any spirit of hate. We bind any spirit of jealousy. We bind any spirit of stubbornness, oh God. We ask that you come in and you search us, oh God, and get rid of all those things, oh Lord, that is not like you. Lord, continue to bless this young generation, oh God. Help us to stay on fire for you, oh Lord. Help us to let the world know that there are still young people out there, oh Lord, that are on fire for you, oh God. We may not be perfect, oh Lord. We may not get everything right, but Lord, that we love you and we want the world to know that you are the one that we love and you are the one that we serve, oh God. Help us to do better. Help us to want to do better, oh God. Don't have us to do things out of habit. Don't have us to do things out of just because someone told us to do it, oh God. But give us the desire to be these things. Give us the burning desire to say we want to please you, oh God. Lord, I ask that you bless every individual person on this call, oh God, whatever their need may be, whatever their cry to you may be, oh God. I ask that you meet it, oh God. I ask that you be with them, oh Lord. I ask that you strengthen each and every person, oh God. And Lord, I ask these things in your Son Jesus Christ's name, and we'll be so careful to give your name all the praise, the honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the coming together tonight of your people. We thank you, Lord, for the sharing of your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is spirit and it is truth, and it ministers to us on a level like nothing else can. We thank you, Lord, that by the power of your spirit, you speak to our spirit. We thank you that there's a witness in our spirit. Oh, God, love you tonight like nothing else. Lord, we praise you. Nothing else can affect our spirit like your word. Nothing else can affect our spirit like your spirit. It is even your spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are your children. Lord, I thank you that your word has given us the roadmap. Your word has presented the blueprint. Your word has given us the guide and compass, the rule book for living in victory. As we put our minds on you, as we trust you, the integrity of your word, the veracity of your word, the efficacy of your word, we thank you that you minister to us on such a level that you pour in strength where we may not even know we need it. You pour in grace, Lord God, in areas where we've been broken. You pour in joy in areas, Lord God, where we've been sad, and you turn our lives around. You have raised us up, made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. And so as we reflect on tonight's lesson, as we review the notes that we have taken, as we listen even to this recording afresh, Lord, let there be a fire that burns within the heart of your child to be more like Jesus. Lord, let there be a hunger that stirs up in the heart of a person that needs salvation, that causes them to hunger and thirst after righteousness and follow by faith to the fulfilling of the word and the fulfillment of their need. You will lead us in the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Lord, let us rest in your presence. I speak against the spirit of fear. Come against the spirit of intimidation, the spirit of unbelief. And tonight, as we embrace your word, as we seek to be more like Jesus, yielding ourselves to the growth process, not trying to take a shortcut. No shortcut in us, Lord. It's not about a shortcut. It's about a sure cut. Whatever might have to be cut off tonight, Lord, let it be cut off. Let it be a sure cut. We're in it for the shortcut, not for the shortcut. And so, Lord God, we commit ourselves into thine hand, spirit, soul, and body. Now may the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. We love you. Hold on to what you've heard. God's got more in store. God bless you. We love you in Jesus' name.